This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines. Iran's foreign minister says Tehran has always been in favor of dialogue as the best solution for regional issues as he arrives in Beirut on his second leg of a regional tour. The Sudanese hacker group brings down the websites of an Israeli port and a company following Tel Aviv's offer to mediate between the warring sides in Sudan. And China says its core position regarding the Ukrainian conflict is to promote peace talks, while Moscow accuses Kiev of undermining peace attempts. This is Muse. Thanks for joining us. Iran's foreign minister says the Islamic Republic has always been in favor of dialogue as the best solution for regional issues. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the remarks upon arrival in Beirut on his second leg of a regional tour. He said the trip to Lebanon has brought up an opportunity for discussions about regional issues as well as expanding Tehran-Beirut ties. Regarding the fighting in Sudan, he said Tehran is worried about the situation in the North African country. Also in Yemen, Amir Abdollahian said that Iran has been putting efforts to ensure peace in the war-torn country. Earlier, he visited Oman and discussed a host of issues with his Omani counterpart.
The implementation of agreements between Iran and Oman has speeded up, especially following President Ebrahim Raisi's trip to Muscat last year. The Omani king, who served as a diplomat for 20 years, said there have been improvements in the two countries' bilateral ties over the past year. Considering Iran's geopolitical position in the area of transit, the two countries have agreed on implementing Ashgabat transport agreements as soon as possible. The corridor starts from Oman and continues to Central Asia through Iran. Oman has always been eager to see that the talks aimed at the removal of sanctions against Iran will reach a desirable conclusion. Regarding the talks, some ideas were proposed and we were informed of them. We are grateful for the Omani king's constructive role and his sincere intention in this regard.
Iran says Tehran and Astana have drawn a comprehensive roadmap to further boost bilateral ties. Iran's first Vice President Mohammad Mokhber made the remarks during a joint presser with the visiting Kazakh Prime Minister Alikhan Ismailiyev. He said comprehensive agreements in various areas, including oil exploration, transit and agriculture, have been reached during talks with a high-ranking Kazakh official. The two also agreed to build the infrastructure required to connect the country's private sectors, including banking and insurance. Alikhan Ismailiyev, for his part, hailed expansion of trade ties with Tehran, describing Iran as a very important market for Kazakhstan. Iran has imposed sanctions on more than 20 individuals and entities from the European Union and the United Kingdom. The bans were announced just hours after the U.S., EU, and the U.K. imposed fresh sanctions on several Iranian individuals and entities, including the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, over alleged human rights violations.
Iran has imposed sanctions on more than 20 individuals and entities from the European Union and the United Kingdom. The Iranian Foreign Ministry said in a statement that the EU and UK individuals and entities were blacklisted because of supporting terrorism and terrorist groups, instigating and encouragement to terrorist acts and violence against Iranian people, interference in domestic affairs of Iran, fomenting violence and unrest in the country, dissemination of false information about Iran and participation in the escalation of cruel sanctions against Iranian people as an act of economic terrorism. It added that Iran condemns the measures of the EU and Britain to support, facilitate, and deny from countering the destructive acts of aforementioned individuals and entities, which are in violation of international obligations regarding combating terrorism. The ministry emphasized that the acts of those individuals and entities imposing and exacerbating cruel sanctions are obvious violation of fundamental principles of international law set forth in the United Nations Charter. It added that all relevant Iranian organizations and institutions, consistent with the regulations adopted by the related authorities, will take appropriate measures, which are blocking of accounts and transactions in the Iranian financial and banking systems, blocking of assets within the jurisdiction of the Islamic Republic of Iran, as well as prohibition of visa issuance and entry to the territory of the Islamic Republic of Iran for effective implementation of the above-mentioned sanctions. Tehran slammed London and Brussels for supporting, facilitating, and failing to counter the destructive acts of the sanctioned individuals and entities, noting that such measures are in contravention of international obligations regarding the fight against terrorism. Iran's retaliatory measure came on the same day that the European Union and the UK imposed new sanctions on a number of Iranian individuals and entities over alleged human rights violations, despite the fact that the failure of such a policy has been proven many times over the past years. The European Union's Council said in a statement on Monday that it had imposed restrictive measures on 8 Iranian individuals and one entity over an allegation that they were responsible for serious human rights violations in the country. The European Union has so far imposed several packages of sanctions on a total of 211 individuals and 35 entities over the claim of gross human rights violations. The UK government followed suit and announced its decision to toughen its sanctions against the IRGC for alleged human rights violations. British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly announced a travel ban and asset freezes on 4 individuals and the IRGC in its entirety, and said the decision was made in coordination with the United States and the European Union, but gave no more details. More than 70 Iranian officials and entities have been made subject to UK asset freezes and travel bans since October last year. Tensions between Iran and European Union have dramatically risen amid the European Parliament's push to list the IRGC as a terrorist organization. However, EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell has clarified that the bloc cannot list the IRGC as a terrorist entity without an EU court ruling.
The European Union and the U.S. have in recent months issued several rounds of sanctions against Iran. The sanctions have impacted the lives of Iranians negatively. Meanwhile, the UN Relief Chief says the world body is seeking humanitarian exemptions on Western sanctions against Iran through the Security Council.
The UN Relief Chief says the world body is seeking humanitarian exemptions on Western sanctions against Iran through the Security Council.
Humanitarian agencies and people like myself representing them, everywhere in the world where there are sanctions, work very hard to mitigate the impact of those sanctions in humanitarian terms, and Iran is no different from anywhere else. We are assisted in this very often by decisions from key member states to provide for an exemption through the Security Council for humanitarian operations. And we diligently pursue the implementation of those exemptions.
The Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Martin Griffiths, made the remarks while speaking at a press conference in Tehran on Tuesday following his talks with Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian. He added sanctions are applied in different ways, but our efforts to mitigate them do not differ in different countries, whether it is in Iran, in Syria, in Afghanistan, or elsewhere. He also said that the UN relief bodies are very often assisted by decisions from key member states to provide an exemption through the Security Council and through humanitarian operations, saying, "We pursue the implementation of those exemptions." He concluded, "Our interest in sanctions is not political, it's humanitarian, and it just seeks to ensure where people need humanitarian aid, sanctions do not impede their access to that aid." The United States, under former President Donald Trump, reinstated crippling sanctions on Iran after unilaterally walking out of the 2015 nuclear deal in May 2018, despite Iran's full compliance with the terms of the agreement, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. although Trump failed to achieve his professed goals with the so-called maximum pressure campaign, the waves of sanctions took a heavy toll on ordinary Iranians, including those battling life-threatening diseases. The sanctions maintained by Trump's successor, Joe Biden, have restricted the financial channels necessary to pay for basic goods and medicine, undermining supply chains by limiting the number of suppliers willing to facilitate sales of humanitarian goods to the country. Iran has repeatedly denounced the sanctions as an act of economic war, economic terrorism, and medical terrorism.
A group of Sudanese hackers has targeted the websites of an Israeli port and a company in the latest cyber attacks on targets in the occupied territories. The group, calling itself Anonymous Sudan, said it brought down the websites of the Haifa port and a company which directs ports in the occupied territories. The attacks came 2 days after the same group brought down the website of Israeli spy agency Mossad and several other companies. Back then, the group expressed its opposition to Israel's proposal to mediate between warring sides in Sudan. Khartoum agreed to normalize ties with Tel Aviv in a U.S. brokered deal in 2020, but the Sudanese people reject normalization with the occupying regime. A pro-Palestinian academic fired by his university in England in a controversial fashion is taking his case against the institution to an industrial tribunal. Professor David Miller says pressure over his pro-Palestinian, anti-Zionist stance cost him his job with the University of Bristol, and he's now hoping that a vibrant crowdfunding campaign will help him fight his case. Amina Taylor reports from London.
Professor David Miller, producer and co-host of Palestine Declassified on Press TV, is continuing his fight against his dismissal from Bristol University in October 2021 for what they called, amongst other things, not meeting the standards of behavior we expect from our staff. The tribunal hearing is set for October 16 this year and is expected to last 2 weeks.
It's a long case by tribunal standards because there's a huge amount of documentation going along with the case, and that's what we will find, whether the university has wrongfully dismissed me, and also whether the court will determine that I was discriminated against on grounds of my political beliefs, which is the claim that we're making.
For Professor Miller, the pressure to remain silent has been unrelenting, increasing in ferocity over the course of the past 3 years.
I'm regularly attacked. I've been deplatformed. I've been stopped from having meetings. The police have closed down meetings. We've had to have the meetings outside, all because there have been complaints by Zionists.
Professor Miller is amongst a group of high-profile British figures on the left who have been hounded on charges of so-called anti-Semitism.
The witch hunt against the Labour left, which happened under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, people thought that had gone once Jeremy Corbyn was gone, but it hasn't gone. We've seen only in the last couple of days the attacks on Diane Abbott, the longest-standing black female MP in the country, who has, of course, faced the most outrageous racism over her entire career, and she has now been jettisoned from the party. Now, this is an ongoing process, and they will not stop until they have got everyone out of the Labour Party, and indeed every other part of public life who is able to or willing to stand up to the Zionists to support the rights of the Palestinians.
Professor Miller's advocacy work and contributions to show like Palestine Declassified continues to make him a target. A target for those who would prefer that Professor Miller and those with his way of thinking remain silent. Supporters are being asked to back a special crowdfunding campaign that could help change legal history in the UK when it comes to pro-Palestinian voices.
I will be able to establish, if I win, the principle that you cannot just sack people for being anti-Zionists because the Zionist movement wants you to. And that's never been established so far in law and at industrial tribunal. So that's a key question which I hope to establish. And that's why I'm asking people to support my crowdfunder. I've got to employ lawyers to defend me so we can establish, hopefully, the legal principle that anti-Zionism is protected under equality legislation.
Pro-Palestinian supporters await the outcome of this case with bated breath. Amina Taylor, London.
China has reacted to the reported EU calling for naval patrols in the Taiwan Strait, saying that the country is prepared to deal with any threats to its sovereignty and territory.
I believe that our relevant departments are well prepared and we will be on high alert for any activity that poses a possible threat to China's national sovereignty and territory.
Chinese Taiwan Affairs Office issued the statement after the EU foreign policy chief criticized China in an opinion piece published by a French newspaper. Joseph Borrell slammed China's naval and air drills in the Taiwan Strait. He also urged European navies to patrol the strategic waters around the self-ruled island. Recent months, tensions between China and the West, especially the U.S., has risen over their growing military and political support for Taiwan. Beijing regards the island as its own territory under the One China policy. China often conducts military drills around Taiwan, saying the exercises are a warning to Taiwan's separatist forces and their collusion with external powers. China says its core position regarding the Ukrainian conflict is to promote peace talks. The Chinese President Xi Jinping made the comments during his first phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, since the start of the war in Ukraine. Xi called on both Moscow and Kiev to exercise restraint in dealing with the nuclear issue. Back in February, China unveiled a 12-point paper calling for a political settlement to the war in Ukraine. Reacting to the phone call, the Russian Foreign Ministry accused Kiev and its Western allies of undermining previous peace attempts. Iran and Russia are taking the last steps toward integrating their electronic banking systems. The Iranian ambassador to Moscow has told media that Iran's Shetab and Russia's Mir networks have started their joint financial activities on a trial basis. Kazem Jalali said the move would ease transactions between the two countries to a significant level. Tehran and Moscow signed agreements last year to boost their bilateral trade and economic cooperation. That also included integrating Iranian and Russian interbank transfer systems. Both countries are under crippling Western economic sanctions, and their banks have been disconnected from the Western-based payment system SWIFT. Tehran and Moscow are also looking for ways to shift away from the U.S. dollar in their bilateral trade transactions. The UN Special Envoy for Sudan says the rival military factions are not ready to seriously negotiate to help end the deadly power struggle in the African country. Volker Perthes further said the top generals in control of Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid support forces suffer from miscalculation. Perthes also warned about prolonged conflict, saying the fighting would further break down law and order throughout the country. He underlined that Sudan's potential fragmentation could have a devastating blow to the region. The UN envoy made the remarks while briefing the Security Council on Tuesday. In that meeting, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres reiterated his call for an immediate cessation of hostility in Sudan. The fighting in Sudan broke out on April 15. The Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group have fought to have a say in the future politics of the African country. According to the UN's health agency, clashes left more than 450 dead. Several temporary ceasefires have been announced to allow evacuations of civilians and foreign citizens. The latest truce was announced on Monday for 3 days. On Wednesday, a ship transferred nearly 1,700 civilians of over 50 states from Sudan to Jeddah port in Saudi Arabia. In recent days, several European, Asian, and American governments evacuated their nationals from Sudan.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bazaar.
Many people have ideas. However, those who turn their ideas into reality are the ones who search for ways to make their ideas happen. More often than not, this occurs by joining knowledge with method. Knowledge brings competitive advantages and generates sustainable market leadership. Its tools are creativity and innovation, which are all intangible human talents. Never more than now has knowledge been so critical and significant in production and the shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Alireza Ikhtiyarzadeh, and this week we are going to explore the central role science and technology parks play in complementing the knowledge-based production ecosystem. We wanted to see how the government is shifting towards a knowledge-based economy, and plus we wanted to understand why tech parks are so critical to industry development and the national economy. So let's get started. To better understand the country's knowledge-based ecosystem, we visited an event at Semnan Science and Technology Park where we could get some answers. Science and technology parks are where startups and innovative teams can operate in one geographical location. These areas provide diverse services and facilities to companies that fit the criteria. We were able to catch up with a couple companies that operate out of this park. One of these companies specializes in producing advanced machines used in mining. This company is one of only a handful that has managed to indigenize these previously imported products. Another company we ran into while at the event specializes in making hardware and software with artificial intelligence. Events like the one we visited helped braid together and link companies, investors, and infrastructures with the necessary resources to complete projects. These components all make up the various parts of the knowledge-based ecosystem. But we also wanted to know how science and tech parks operate and why they are attractive to businesses. One of the advantages of these parks is that it's a space where crucial resources are offered. These places are a focal point for serving knowledge-based companies producing advanced specialized products needed in the domestic market. Science and technology parks also serve as a launching pad toward the international arena. We spoke with a park official who helped shed more light on this issue.
There are four scenarios of which foreign companies could have the opportunity to reside in Sanlan Science and Technology Park. Well, the first scenario will be the execution of soft landing programs between the two countries, which gives the foreign companies an opportunity to get familiar with the host country's market. Well, the second scenario will be holding joint events, including joint startup events, fairs, and similar events, which could help them get familiar with each other. And the other scenario, or the third way that a company could have the chance to come to our park, will be to find and carry out joint projects with our companies, and finally sharing the interests. The fourth scenario will be holding joint innovation tours, which gives them, which gives the companies an opportunity to get familiar with how you know innovation ideas are being implemented in other countries.
These parks are essential in filling a gap in the tech innovation ecosystem, providing monetary resources and attracting investments. These establishments also join investors with particular companies and projects. They offer numerous unique services such as facilitating visa processes, offering financial assistance such as soft loans or even special incentives under free trade zones like tax exemptions. And it doesn't stop there. This park offers so much more to investors.
The other solution or the other way that could attract foreign investors will be to define BOT models, which means they have to introduce projects and within the framework of our protocols. And once it is, it has been approved, they can operate the project for a while. This includes mainly long-term projects. Particularly, and I shall have to tell you that Sanlan Science and Technology Park is very interested in projects in the fields of artificial intelligence, IT, ICT, IoT, and virtual reality. And we could help these companies. And once they have, once they build it and then operate it, they could transfer it to our park.
Most tech parks, such as this one, are active in the international sphere and collaborate with other domestic tech parks. Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end. Over the years, the government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology, Sorena Sattari. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find distress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company, that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reach the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem. How is the process towards the solution. And what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I'm Miss Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfi Gol says Iran on average registers around 70,000 scientific articles and international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfi Gol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email. And don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
Collection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن
Muslim's major problem is losing touch with the Quran
کتاب الله
The ocean of dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss. Dear listeners, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. وَجْعَلْ لِسَانِي بِذِكْرِكَ لَهِجَةً. Make my tongue remember you constantly. وَقَلْبِي بِحُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمًا. And my heart enthralled by your love. وَمُنَّ عَلَيَّ بِحُسْنِ إِجَابَتِكَ. Be gracious to me by answering me favorably. وَأَقِلْنِي عَثْرَتِي وَغْفِرْ زَلَّتِي. Nullify my slips, forgive my lapses. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ. Because you have decreed your worship for your servants. وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ. You commanded them to supplicate. وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَةِ. You assured them that they would be answered. فَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّي نَصَبْتُ وَجْهِي. So towards you, my Lord, I have turned my face. وَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّي مَدَدْتُ يَدِي. Towards you, my Lord, I have extended my hand. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ اسْتَجِبْ لِي دُعَائِي. So by your might, comply with my supplication. Make me attain my desires. وَبَلِّغْنِي مُنَايِ. Regarding the beginning phrase of this part, وَاجْعَلْ لِسَانِي بِذِكْرِكَ لَهِجَةً, we discussed in the previous episode. Now, let us talk about another aspect. Performing prayers is remembering Allah as well. This is a kind of practical remembrance. When we ask the Almighty Allah to make our tongue remember Him constantly, this can be in both ways. It can also have practical aspects as well, because we can perform prayers. And reciting Qur'an is remembering Allah as well. Sometimes we forget the special times, the special chances the Almighty Allah has set before us. Specific supplications recommended by imams, or those transmitted supplications for certain times and places, are remembering Allah as well. Speaking in accord with the methods cited in the Holy Qur'an is another instance of remembering Allah. But the point is, above all, using the tongue for guiding people to Allah is the greatest and most valuable form of remembrance of the Almighty Allah.
Protect me and cause my tongue to accentuate your remembrance, and my heart filled with your love, and be gracious to me by your gracious response, and cause my evils to appear fewer, and forgive me my errors.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good. About all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we could never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Thiqatul Islam Kulaini, in the final section of his valuable book, has narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that a pious man defeated Satan's temptations after a lot of worship. Because this constant remembrance of the Almighty Allah is a form, the best form of it is worshipping Him. Now, Satan called his army and told them, which of you can get this pious man out of the worshipper's circle? Everyone of these Satans mentioned their tricks, but none was accepted. One of them said, I will deceive him by prayers. Satan liked this idea of deceit and appointed him as the agent for misguiding this mentioned pious man. Now, Satan's agent went to the pious man's temple and began worshipping very eagerly. He was much engaged in enthusiastic worship that the pious man could not ask him the reason for his rare wild worship. When he finally asked the reason from the agent, he answered, I have committed a sin and now I am regretful. My regretfulness has set me into eager worshipping without getting tired. The pious man wanted to experience the same state of worshipping after regret from a sin, and he did not even think of the consequences if he would die while committing the sin. So he asked Satan's agent to help him. The agent recommended for him to do adultery with a famous prostitute woman. The pious man rushed to her, and the woman was astonished at seeing this pious man and with his divine countenance in that quarter of the city. The woman thought he has been deceived, so she told him, one can never reach the position of nearness by wrongdoing. This state was so astonishing that the woman understood what state the man was in. The woman continued, the one who has encouraged you to do so has intended to deceive and misguide you. Committing sins brings humans down and does not promote them. Now turn back to your temple, and if you do not find your encourager, know for sure that he has been Satan. The man, the pious man, Akhund, returned to the temple but did not see that evil agent anymore. He was very grateful to the woman who had saved him from engaging in wrongdoing. On the other hand, the woman passed away on that very night, and the Almighty addressed the prophet of that age, accompany other people in burying her body. I forgave all her sins because she guided one of my servants. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.